The Jericho Network on Westwood One. All right, Corey Taylor is back on Talk is Jericho. He had such a great time last time he had to return. This time we're going to talk about his new book. Get ready for this title. You're Making Me Hate You, a cantankerous look at the common misconception that humans have any common sense left. Yeah, there's a title for you. And even better, it's Corey's third book. I'm starting to get mad at him because he's caught up to me now. I got to write a fourth book just to stay on him, stay on his trail. And wait till you hear what happens when I try and get him to say that book title. I'm not sure if he even knows it himself. We also talk a lot about music, including Stone Sour's upcoming covers EP, and how the newest members of Slipknot are settling into the band. And of course, you know there's going to be lots of ridiculous humor and funny laughs with Corey Taylor. He's just like me. I'm as excited to have him back as I am to have some new Nature Box in my pantry. Now remember, Nature Box, my favorite snacky wackies. They have over 100 different snacks for you to choose from, all delicious, guilt-free snacking options. Nature Box has gluten-free snacks, vegan snacks, low-fat snacks, no sugar added snacks, no artificial flavors, no colors, no high fructose corn syrup. Corn syrup, whatever it's called. They don't have any of that either. If there was such a thing as corn syrup, you can forget about it. They don't got it. What they do have is dried fruit. Tons of granola options. They got a bunch of different popcorn flavors. They got just about any kind of nut you can think of. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Don't. Sometimes you don't. But you guys know how much I love the coconut cashews. Those are my favoritas. But if sweet is your thing, if you got a sweet tooth, then give the whole wheat chocolate chip cookie bites. Or how about the mini Belgian waffles a try? There's so many great flavors to choose from. They're going to satisfy your sweet tooth without the guilt of the vending machine. So you got to try Nature Box for yourself. That's why I'm going to hook you up with some free Nature Box snacks. That's right. I said free and I meant it, free. All you got to do is go to naturebox.com/Jericho. You get the most popular snacks delivered right to your front door for free. That's if you live in the United States. And if you get that free box, I want you to hit me up on the Twitter at Talk is Jericho. Let me know your favorite flavors, your favorite snacks. Let me know what you're digging. Let me know what you're down with. And I want you to give it a try because, once again, you can get a free trial. Get your free snacks. You go to naturebox.com/Jericho right now. That's naturebox.com/Jericho. Give it a try. Give it a shot. It's going to make your tummy sing. Nature Box.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho, the pot of thunder and rock and roll. The remedy for boredom has arrived. The People's Podcast is here. Let's go for a ride with the terror of the Franken chicken.
Franken chicken,
he's a bad mother clucker.
Franken chicken, bark, bark. Franken chicken,
he's a bad mother clucker.
Franken chicken,
bark, bark.
Franken chicken,
he's a bad mother clucker.
Franken chicken, bark, bark. Franken chicken,
he's a bad mother clucker.
Franken chicken, bark, bark.
Yeah, that's right. Franken chicken, inspired by Corey Taylor. When he was on the last time he was on Talk is Jericho, you can go check that out on iTunes and see all the hilarity that happened last time and all the hilarity that happened this time. You can also go on the podcast app. That's how I listen to podcasts. I'm excited to have Corey back. Maybe we'll write another song based on something we say on this show. You'll hear why Clown from Slipknot calls him Lizard. What happened the first time he used face paint on stage with Slipknot instead of a mask? Hear which TV reality show he turned down more than once, and hear his take on Bruce Jenner becoming Caitlyn Jenner. He's going to tell you how it all works because he knows all about that, apparently. He's also sharing some of the rants from his latest book, You're Making Me Hate You, a cantankerous look at the common misconception that humans have any common sense left. Really funny stuff to hear and to read. And speaking of funny stuff to watch, if you're looking for something more to make your laughs go, ha ha ha, hee hee, ha ha ha, check out my Comedy Central digital series, Nothing to Report. Thanks to you guys, we're over 1.5 million views. And I'll let you know if Comedy Central gives us the green light to make some more episodes. I hope they do. I mean, they should. I mean, it's been a very big success, a very big hit, and so was the Intensity in 10 Cities. Oh, my goodness, what a crazy, crazy run that I had. Told you all about it. Went from, I'll see if I can remember it off the top of my head. It was Las Vegas, Orlando, Des Moines, Sioux City, Boston, Reading, Orlando again, Tampa, Tokyo. So it was a lot of touring a different city every night, and it went really good, culminating with the WWE Network special Beast in the East, which I thought was a great idea and a great special. And it was really, if you haven't seen it yet, you got to go check it out on the WWE Network. It's up now on demand, whenever you want to watch it. And the idea behind it was just basically airing a live event, a house show, which is something I remember seeing back in the 80s. They would air full cards from Maple Leaf Gardens. I think they used to do that on the MSG Network as well. So you would basically just see the whole show from start to finish with no real bells and whistles, no fancy pants, lights or bombs or lasers or pyro, just a good old-fashioned wrestling show. And that's exactly what Beast of the East was. So it kicked off with me versus Adrian Neville, or just Neville if you're a WWE fan. Apparently it's hard to keep your first names in the WWE, as Cesaro and Batista and Neville and all these guys know. But it kicked off with us. The show itself did not kick off with our match, though there was a couple matches before that. The show started at 6 p.m., and then we went live on the network on 6:30 p.m. So we're in Tokyo, which I believe was like 5:30 a.m. here in the States. But a lot of people watched it live, and I had a blast. I mean, I had a blast of both days working. I worked with Finn Balor on the first show on the Friday, and then I worked with Neville on the second show on the Saturday. And I don't mind saying I feel that we tore the house down with both on both those matches, and I really, really enjoyed both the matches. Never worked with either one of them until that night in Tokyo in front of the raucous Tokyo crowd, which is, like I mentioned, last show was my 45th or 43rd. I can't remember which one it is. Between the 43rd and 45th tour of Japan. So, and I know the first night, Baylor goes over Jericho, and then the next night he goes over Owens and becomes the NXT champion. So you can see the story that he told, because believe it or not, people, if you're listening to this show, I actually have a really good name value in Japan. I've been going there for many years, won many titles, had many main events in New Japan, WAR, FMW, and of course WWE as well, and had classic matches, a lot of them, I don't mind saying. Once again, I understand the Japanese fans. I know what they like. I know what I like. I know how to put together a match there. Well, I know how to put together a match. Let's just leave it at that. So the first night when Balor beat me, it was a big deal in Japan, and it also really set the tone for what he was about to do the next night in beating Owens. And then the second night, working with Neville, I beat Neville in a killer match that was 17 minutes long. And there's still a lot of you that are still very hung up on what a win and a loss means. Now, I know when I had Shawn Michaels on the show, and he says, you know, wins and losses matter. Yes, they do. Yes, you're damn right that they do. But more importantly is, how does the match spotlight each guy, right? So the Neville match, you're dealing with a guy that's basically just starting out against a six-time world champion and a guy who's been to Japan many, many times. So it's like, well, what good does Jericho have in winning the match? First of all, I don't book my matches, okay? Once again, I do what the boss tells me to do. I show up and it says Neville, Jericho up, Neville down. I don't complain. And if it says Balor up, Jericho down, I don't complain. All I care about is having a great match. So people say, well, Jericho's a part-timer. Well, I'm a part-timer, right? Whatever that even means. I'm also a guy who has a lot of experience and a lot of notoriety, a lot of status within the WWE. So losing to Chris Jericho is never a bad thing. And it's not like it was a two-minute squash. We had a tremendous match. I thought the finish was crazy. He went for the red arrow. I put my knees up, put him right in the walls, which I'd tried to get on him a couple times. That's the psychology of wrestling. And you're damn right I should have won. Okay? Neville's just starting. And he will be there for many, many years. But guess what, guys? So will I. My career's not done. I'm not coming back like, you know, Billy Robinson or Bruno Sammartino for one final match. You know, I think, you know, you can't win either with some fans, because if I win, I'm burying the younger talent. If I lose, I'm just a jobber. So here's the deal. For anybody that's been following my career for as long as you have, listened to this podcast, you got to know by now, I don't care what people think. I do the best I can to put on the best show that I can and make sure that everybody wins in the end. And I think that happened again, once again, with Balor and Neville. So whether you like the finish, whether you didn't like the finish, just watch the freaking match. You know what I mean? Just watch the match and stop analyzing it. Okay. Everybody wins. Everybody loses. We all know who's going to the top. We all know who's cream rises to the top. You know, like Eddie Guerrero told me, it says wrestling on the marquee. WWE. What does that W stand for? Wrestling and entertainment. If you can wrestle, if you can entertain, you'll always have a shot. You'll always have a chance. You'll always keep rising to the top. And Neville is incredible. He's a tremendous performer, as is Finn Balor. I enjoyed working with both those guys. It was a walk in the park. It was really, really cool. Really, really nice. I will say this. When Neville did the dive, I wanted to make sure to catch him. If you saw the match, I got my neck crunched underneath him. So like for the next 2 days, even the plane ride home, I was like, you know, walking like the Terminator. I go to the left and never move my neck. Go to the right and never move my neck. It's like, it's really weird because you just can't move it. You know, you ever hear that whiplash? That's what it is. Your neck is just stuck in one place and you can't move it back and forth. But now I'm happy to say that it's definitely loosening up a bit. Feel a lot better, and I'll be ready for this weekend's continuation of the Y2J WWE Summer Tour. And I got to say, once again, I enjoyed coming to Japan. I loved it in Japan. It's always a blast, and I love working with new people as well. In the last few weeks, getting a chance to work with Wade Barrett and Sheamus and Balor and Neville, it really gives me a little bit of extra fire. You know, you never get stuck in a rut with when you're working with different guys because you're thinking of different ideas every night, and that's what I enjoy doing, and I enjoy wrestling. So call me kooky, call me wacky, call me crazy. It's still fun. I still love it, and that's why I still do it. You know what I'm saying, man? All right. I hope you understand what I'm saying. And if you haven't seen the Jericho versus Neville match, go onto the WWE Network, go Beast in the East, and go check it out. It is worth it. And the rest of the show was great as well. Balor and Owens had a tremendous match. The Divas had a great three-way. Just the whole thing was a really fun and good idea for the network to do that. And I think that's one of the things that's going to help them continue to get subscriptions is show things that you can't see anywhere else. You know what I mean? Things that you can't see. You know, you have to go, like I said before, if you want to see Balor versus Jericho, you had to actually be in Tokyo and go. You want to see Balor versus Neville, you can go watch it on the network. Although I know you can see the Balor match too on YouTube, but stick with me here. Don't be a smart aleck. Speaking of smart alecks, we got Corey Taylor coming up. Good friend of mine. He knows a thing or two about being a smart aleck and about using his brain to its fullest potential. That's why he's written 3 books and hundreds of songs. He's a movie star. He's an author, a singer. He's a businessman. He knows so much stuff. He always has to have serious brain power to make all this stuff happen. He does a lot of different things. And I know how it feels because I've done the same thing. I've written 3 books as well. Now I have to read a fourth to beat Corey. And so I'm going to have to maximize my brain potential by using Koios. All right. I take Koios every single day to make sure I'm always as mentally clear and as focused as I can be. That's what Koios does. It's a brain supplement that helps boost brain function, increases motivation, enhances mental clarity, and improves your memory recall. 10 times more effective than coffee. 10 times healthier than coffee because it uses natural ingredients that target brain function. Okay. Over the long term, Koios builds the brain like a muscle. Koios team spent years researching, testing, and developing this formula. It's a combination of 11 different ingredients, and everybody they tested it on showed great results. Believe me, they've tested everybody. World-class athletes, actors, writers, teachers, students, even a WWE superstar like me, a rock and roll singer like me. Koios is a great supplement no matter your age or occupation, and everybody they tested had the same results, good ones. Now, I know you leave busy lives. You're just like me. We're always running around, never have enough sleep, never get enough exercise, completely stressed out from all the weights of the world that's on our shoulders. Well, now you can do something about that. You feed your brain. You be a superstar, all right? You be a mental titan. That's what Koios is. You unleash your mental titan. Here's how to remember it. Koios was the titan of mental intelligentsia. Titans are Greek gods. You too can be a mental god in your house, in your life, in your business. You just got to try Koios. Order it today and use my promo code to get how much? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25% off your order. Just go to mentaltitan.com. Use my promo code Jericho. That's mentaltitan.com. Promo code Jericho. Get 5, 10, 15, 20, 25% off your order. All right. Koios really works. You can become a mental titan yourself. Give it a try. See for yourself. Go to mentaltitan.com. Use my promo code Jericho and become sharper, become smarter, become a mental titan by trying Koyos right now.
This week on the Big Podcast with Shaq, the Diesel catches up with Cleveland Cavaliers superstar Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving in the house. What's going on, player?
What's up, Shaq? How you doing, man?
You know, you ask a lot of people around, you know, so-called fans. You ask them who has the best handle. Some say Kyrie. Some say Steph Curry. Who do you think has the best handle in the NBA?
No, I believe I do.
Okay, good. There you go, Jersey. Say it with your chest, Jersey. Say it with your chest.
You wanted that.
I did. Say it with your chest.
The Big Podcast with Shaq.
That's me. It's up right now at podcastone.com.
That's podcastone.com.
This is Talk is Jericho.
So before you ask about the red, I had a part in the Clowns movie.
Okay.
They put a wig on me and they sprayed it red for the character.
Okay.
And I took the wig off and I was like, oh, this will come out. That was a week ago. I've watched it like 13 times. I even scrubbed a bar of soap on this. I'm so mad.
But you have like red hair anyways.
Kinda, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it works, but it's still, every time I look in the mirror, I'm just like, so pissed.
But that's the thing, like, it doesn't matter because you're a rock guy. You can just,
yeah,
just like, oh, Corey's got like orange hair today.
Yeah, I'm like, why is he doing with this? But it's only in the front. Okay, whatever, he's starting something.
So what's the part in the movie?
It's a character called Headcase Harry, because he's doing a comic book, and it's a comic book called Officer Down, which is a really gnarly comic, and it basically kind of takes the kind of comic book cliche and turns it on its head, you know. And it's about a cop who can't die. Like, he just keeps, they send him into gnarly situations. He gets blown up and all this stuff, and they bring him back to the laboratory and they just bring him back to life, and he just does it all over again. So it's like Groundhog Day with a giant 88 Magnum, you know. And I play Headcase Harry, who's like this Riddler slash Heath Ledger Joker meth dealer who invents this thing called Super Crank. Like, I mean, it's this whole thing.
Wow, yeah, yeah.
And, it was pretty cool, man. I shot it in a day, and I think it's towards the beginning of the movie and kind of helps set everything up. And it was really cool. Kim Coates from Sons of Anarchy, okay, and like a bunch of stuff. He plays Officer Down.
It's no surprise there, because Clown does a lot of...
He's done a lot of directing. This is his first feature. And he was so stoked, man. Like, when I showed up on set, he's just running around. He's just like, I'm in hell, but I love it. You know, he just loved... That's his world, you know? So I was so... And he showed me some of the stuff he's already put together. And it's going to be
What's the movie called?
Officer Down.
Officer Down.
Yeah.
So, and you've done a few parts now, because the last time we spoke, you had just done Fear Itself.
Yeah, yeah.
And is that something you kind of like to get into a little bit more?
Yeah, man. I'm starting to get more offers, too, you know, because when Fear Clinic came out and people saw me with that mustache, you know, I mean, obviously it's too sexual for kids.
Yeah,
but,
duh.
You know, I mean, anything adult or rated, it's fine. But, yeah, man, I just have fun doing it, you know, especially when I can kind of do something that it looks different from what I'm already known for, you know, like grow the mustache, or in the case of Officer Down, put the wig on, and they did my face up. Like, dude, I had such gross, when you see me, you're gonna be like, ugh. And then I made them put scratch marks on my neck, because, you know, if you're around that many chemicals, you're just gonna start digging, you know, and just be like, you know.
Yeah.
So, and it just looks gnarly on the screen, you know. So if I keep getting them, man, and if it's interesting enough where I can kind of play with it and dirty myself up and make myself not unrecognizable, but just to the point where it's like, oh, he looks completely different this time, I'm totally gonna do it. Yeah.
And that's the cool thing. I mean, you and I have a lot in common in that we do a lot of different things and really don't put any boundaries on what it is. Like, oh, you're just a musician, or you're a wrestler, you're an actor, you're this or that.
Yeah.
It's like, if you feel it, then why not give it a try and
exactly
make it work, right?
You know, I mean, one of the best things about what we get to do is that it opens up so many different opportunities for, you know, pursuing interests outside of what the main gig is. And as long as you don't get, you know, stray from what the main gig is, why not, man?
Yeah, exactly.
Have fun with it.
Yeah, well, and that's, you know, and like, I always see you have these projects are coming out. For example, like the cover of The Dark from Metal Church.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is so random, yet super Corey Taylor. Like, that's a great tune.
That's such a good to cover, that's a great album. Yeah.
It's a great album, yeah.
Great album.
I saw Metal Church open for Metallica in 86.
Oh, wow.
Right after Cliff had passed away. It was their first tour, was they went to Canada with Newstead.
Wow.
And they had about the size of that couch to play on. Like, they had no room.
Yeah.
I just remember they're all just standing together, like, shoulder to shoulder, just rocking.
Yeah.
A ton of bricks. You know?
Which is a great tune. Start the Fire.
Yeah.
Is a great tune.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole album, you know, Method to the Madness is such a, I mean, that whole album is so good. And it just, you know, that song, they wanted us to do it for Fear Clinic. So we kind of went.
It was their idea?
It was Rob's idea for us to do something like that. The Dark was my idea.
Okay.
And I was like, if we do it, we should grunge it up a little bit and make it a little heavier, you know, because there's no way I'm hitting those notes.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
I'm just not that guy. But we took it, and I don't want to say modernized it, but we just did our kind of take on it. And it got a great reaction, so, you know, it just felt cool.
Because you guys have a bunch of covers that you're doing.
Yeah.
You're doing EP, and you're doing another, like, this is Stone Sour.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Burbank just came out on Record Store Day.
Oh, okay, what was on that?
That was Love Gun, Heading Out to the Highway, Creeping Death, Children of the Grave, and We Die Young. So the next one, which is called Straight Out of Burbank, is going to have, I won't tell you the tunes, but Bad Brains, Rolling Stones, Slayer, Crew, and Iron Maiden. And then the third one, which is No Sleep Till Burbank, is, oh God, I got to remember, Van Halen, Violent Femmes, Buzzcocks, Rage Against the Machine, and AC/DC. Yeah.
That's so great. So what made you decide to do three cover EPs?
This is something we've been talking about for years, you know, and we decided, instead of putting it all on one, you know, and trying to make that work, we were like, well, let's have fun with it. It was kind of the same spirit of why we wanted to do them in the first place, is because we wanted to have fun, just kind of take the edge off, take the pressure off, and just go in and have fun and kind of show the world what got us into making music in the first place, you know? So we broke it up into three. That way we could kind of, you know, play with the artwork, make it fun for the fans, you know, and just have a good time with it, you know? Cause it's, you know, we're not making our nut on covers, yeah, you know, but at the same time, you know, when you do something like that, you want to represent as to the best of your ability. And, you know, by kind of spacing it out and kind of letting the fans get into five at a time, nothing gets lost in the shuffle, you know, like it just felt like by doing it that way, people would have time to digest each five before the next one comes on. So
where did the Burbank connection come from? I mean, you're
that was, that's where Roy lives. And that's, oh, okay. We did all the music in his home studio. And, so I was like, dude, the title's got to be Meanwhile in Burbank, ... you know? And then it just became like, how can we play on that?
Right.
I was like, No Sleep Till Burbank, Straight Out of Burbank. It was just hilarious, you know? At one point, I wanted us to dress like a black metal band in his front yard and play volleyball, you know? Like, because there's this giant palm tree in the front. There's always sun.
Right, yeah.
You know, and people just, you know, walking their kids or whatever, and we're dressed like Mayhem, you know? Like, just going weird with it. Yeah, dude, just go full Carpathian Forest on it.
Yeah.
And we didn't have the time, because Chow's out with Cavalera, and Roy's been doing some stuff. So we just didn't have that time where we were all in the same state.
Right.
You know, but I was like, we got to remember that one, because that could be rad.
That's cool,
you know?
Yeah. That's a video right there.
Totally.
Shot on an iMovie on your iPhone.
Oh, yeah, just us, just, you know, set and spiking and hair and the, you know, everything.
I remember I saw, I think it was Ozfest a few years ago, and I think it was Dimmu Borgir,
or
maybe it was Cradle of Filth, playing like about 4 o'clock. And
oh,
it was, like,
yeah.
Super hot outside, and they're wearing like the costumes that, like, you know, they play at night. And
right.
So it's not as evil in the sunshine.
It's way too bright for evil. Yeah,
exactly.
It's just, I remember watching Ministry around that time, And it felt weird, you know, because they're a band that's built for darkness. Slipknot is the same way, dude.
Yeah.
When we first started, it was almost like to overcompensate for the fact that the sun was up, that we just started killing each other, you know? It was just like, we know. Wait till you see us in a club. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's so much better if the lights are on. I just watched WrestleMania this year, and it was in San Jose, so yeah. It's West Coast time.
Yeah.
So 3 hours in the show when Undertaker comes out, it's still light out. I'm still like, that doesn't work.
No.
It's still cool, but it's like, that's another guy needs to be at night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because that's the pop.
You know? Exactly. Like,
that's the pop. Yeah, people are waiting for those lights to go down.
Right.
And then all of a sudden the bell rings.
Blue lights. There it is. Yeah.
You know?
You just feel that.
The Gregorian chant starts, and it's like, okay, it's about to get real. Yeah. You know?
Do you ever watch Wrestling on the Road?
I try to, you know. I mean, if we have a bus that's got the capability, I usually order the pay-per-view or whatever. Mm. Now with the network,
right.
I can watch it on my computer. I watch a lot of NXT, though, you know.
Really?
Like, oh, I'm a gnarly NXT fan.
No kidding.
And I didn't even give it a chance until my buddy Stubbs talked about it. And I watched it, and, dude, it's so great. Like, I was just like, yes. Like,
so what about it makes it great for you?
I love the fact that it's a smaller audience. Yeah. I love the fact that the matches are so quick, you know, because it just seems like lately everything's real stiff on Raw and SmackDown. It's kind of clunky, you know, like you'll get a good match every once in a while. And the Divas matches are rad on NXT, you know? Like,
yeah,
they can really wrestle.
You know? They hold their own, like, as the main events of the show sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you want, man. As a fan, it's not so much about the eye candy sometimes. It's like, let's put together a good match. Let's watch it, you know? It's funny because one of the DJs on one of the radio stations, I was doing a phoner the other day, and they were like, Would you guest host Raw? And I was like, no, but I'll guest host NXT, even if it's just on the network. I don't even care because I love it, you know? I watch that, honestly, way more often than I watch Raw now. It's crazy.
It's interesting.
Yeah,
It's become kind of the new revolution. Like, it's got kind of the ECW vibe to
exactly.
it.
Exactly. It's got that home show vibe, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, but the fans are so passionate that they know they're going to get a show, you know? And that's what you want, man. Like, I think that's something that's kind of lost in the shuffle now with Raw and SmackDown. It's like, for the most part, it's just, you know, the audience is there, but it's not a guarantee that you're going to get a decent match, you know? But with NXT, it's almost a foregone conclusion that you're going to get a decent match. So the fans are there to just open up.
And the time is different. Like Raw, SmackDown, you'll get 6 minutes, eight minutes.
Yeah.
NXT, you're talking 15, 20 minutes.
They can really space it out. It's old school. You know, it's that NWA timing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you could, where a match could take 30 minutes, and it's like, Jesus Christ, this is on ESPN. What the hell's really? Yeah. All right, fair enough.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I dig that stuff.
Which guys stand out for you in NXT?
Obviously, Sami Zayn is badass. Adrian Neville, now Neville. I mean, I watched his debut match, which was insane, you know?
On Raw.
When he came out and just basically owned Axel. Like, it was pretty rad. I'm loving the Axel stuff that
Isn't
he's
that
been
great?
Doing.
Yeah.
It's so good. But then, you know, when Neville came out and he hit the move, I was like, oh, this is right. going to be ridiculous, you know. Other than that, Flair's
Charlotte.
Yeah, his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
That's
his daughter.
She's really, really good. I mean, everybody's good on there, man. Like, it's you can't name one kind of, you know, limp bag in that whole thing. It's just everything's good.
Well, and the thing that's interesting too is all those guys have come from, you know, Ring of Honor, overseas, or all those different places. And for a while, the edict in WWE was, we don't want to hire any of those guys.
Yeah, which is
we
weird.
We want to create our own stars.
Yeah.
But they changed their tune pretty quickly with Rollins and Ambrose, and those guys came in.
Yeah.
And now all the guys
you just mentioned,
Kevin Owens and Finn Balor and Tommy, like all those guys were major stars in other companies and overseas. So it's always funny how they'll always go back a lot of times to, you have to be 6'5" and 280 pounds.
It's the template that just doesn't work. I was like, well, how does that work with Foley? I mean, where's the heart? Where's the passion?
You know?
You look great, but if you don't have, you know, if you don't have the intangibles, I mean, where the hell are you going?
That's right.
So,
but that's always kind of been the WWE, like, because Vince is a big guy and he always likes big guys. So the big guys will get more chances than the little guys. But 8 times out of 10, it's the little guys that make the most money for
it. And they'll pick that company up and carry it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's, I'm just waiting to see what happens next, you know, because you've got, you probably got like 4 or 5 dudes that have so much, they're so over right now. Mm. Like Ambrose, Rollins, Ziggler, anytime. And it doesn't matter if he's heel or face. He's so over that it's, you know.
People respect his work ethic.
Oh, yeah, because he'll go for it. Right. You know, he can put together a really great match. Who else? I don't even know if I should call him Mizdow anymore.
Sandow.
He's so good, you know, and people love him. And he's a great worker, too, and he's got so much character. Like, he can literally walk into any situation and make it work, you know. So I think those four dudes... And, you know, Orton's still a really good hand. He's really good. I think that's the next handful of years for me, you know, because, like, those are the people I tune in to watch.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I never asked this before, but when you were starting to put together Slipknot with I don't want to use the word character because I said that to Gene Simmons. He goes, I'm not a character. It's a persona.
Not a character. It's a persona. No, I'm Gene Simmons. Of kids.
Yeah. But, I mean, when you're talking about the personas of Slipknot or the gimmick, was that ever... Not wrestling influence, but did you ever kind of see the correlation between the two?
For me, maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I knew about perception and I knew about, you know, kind of working the angles, playing to the crowd, obviously. I mean, any front man, you know, any good front man has that little bit of wrestling in him, you know,
that's
because
true. Yeah.
You get on the mic and, you know, you either shoot or you play, you know. So for me, it was always about... You know, just gauging and seeing where to go, you know. And obviously growing up, watching all the great dudes on the mic, everybody from Flair to Piper, you know, you just kind of, it just seeps in, you know. Mm-hmm. So when you get that chance, you're going to work it, you know. As far as like image-wise, I can't, not
the
for...
The masks.
Yeah. I think that was more of, that came more from Clown's mind, to be honest. I mean, he was the first one to put one on. That was in practice. That tells you what a maniac he is, because he just was feeling it, you know? So by the time I joined in 97, the masks were such a part of what they did that I kind of, and I'd never felt this in my life. I kind of was, it was almost stumbling in the dark to kind of find my place in it. Because I'd always known, like, you know, who I was and what I wanted to be. As you know, an artist and a singer and whatever, but joining Slipknot was the first time I was challenged to kind of figure it out. And luckily, they gave me a little time to figure it out because I didn't even wear a mask for my first gig. I had like this latex stuff that just melted right out of the gate, and I was like, "Well, that was a fail. That was a party fail."
You mean like makeup or something?
It was literally like I'd painted my face like a skeleton, and then I had liquid latex X's across my eyes. And then I had long, bright red hair, like this red.
Oh, okay.
And I had kind of done it up, almost kind of like the original dreads in my mask. But that, the stuff that I put in, it was the hottest day of the year in 97, all right? It was August, or July or August, can't remember. And everything just melted. So by the end of the show, not only had I taken my shirt off, which was a cardinal sin in Slipknot, everything was gone. It was just basically me jamming with Slipknot, and I can remember Clown just looking at me, him and Joey, just like, he's gotta wear a mask, and I'm like, fine, we gave it a shot, it didn't work, let's figure something out. And that's kind of what, so those guys really helped me out, you know, like, you know, pain and love together helping me figure my stuff out. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, once you get in that mask, and I'm sure any wrestler who's ever worn a mask can tell you, there's a switch that clicks, you know. I'm sure Kane could tell you, just when you put that mask on, it's a whole different vibe because you can play with it. You know, you can really get outside of who you are on the street and become that person, you know. So it helped me really tap into who I wanted to be and what I wanted to say and really get that aggression and focus it and then just spew it, you know?
You know, it's interesting just thinking about what you're saying, because for wrestling and being a front man,
yeah,
there are a lot of similarities. You have to sell it.
You really do.
And Kane was always great at selling with the mask. Now, selling is a facial thing.
Yeah.
Vince will say that's your moneymaker, your face.
Yeah.
And he was always really good at being able to sell even though he had that mask on. You're great at it too. When you
as oh, a yeah.
Like I used to wear sunglasses on stage and I stopped because I didn't like looking at pictures of myself because it's very robotic. Yeah. You can see the eyes and see the
exactly.
Face.
You can emote. Yeah.
But you do that just with your body language and crouching and moving because there's no face. It's just a mask.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? You kind of have to fill in the blanks at that point, you know? And I think that's one of the reasons why I not enjoy, but I get a little something different out of Stone Sour because there's nothing there and people can really see that I'm really mm-hmm. having a good time, you know? And with Slipknot, it's kind of the same thing, but it's like you said, I mean, it's an all day sucker. So you got to have to do whatever you got to do to push that forward and show the people what's going on. And it's, you know, maybe it's just over the years I've developed some kind of unconscious, like Clown calls me the Lizard because I get real weird on stage, you know, and I start to kind of move and he's just like, ugh. And he's wild. I look over and he's watching me and I'm like, shut up.
Yeah, I'm a singer. I have to do this. I'm sitting here with Corey Taylor. And like you said, he's a singer and he knows about moving on stage, being physical, taking care of his body. And now he's about to learn the secret to staying fit and healthy on the road. Corey, you know what it is? It's DDP yoga. You guys know that. He knows it. I know it. You know I do DDP yoga regularly. And that's why I'm in the best shape of my life right now. DDP yoga is an amazing fitness program. Thousands of people experiencing the benefits. A couple of you hit me up on the Twitter. Tell me about it at Talk is Jericho. Jeffrey Matthews at GunnerJ007 on Twitter said, listen to TIJ for the past year, finally made the plunge and got me DDP yoga workout tapes. Hey, listen, you'll be glad you did, Jeffrey. Best money you ever spent. And Tommy Stringer at The Real Tommy S on Twitter did the same thing. He tweeted, with help from TIJ, that's me, I'm going to change my life with DDP yoga, ready to feel the burn. Hashtag get fit, stay fit, and take it from these two guys, DDP yoga is not just for professional athletes, all right? It's for everyone. Thousands of people who just want to live a healthier life are doing DDP yoga now. It's so much more than just a workout program. It's life-changing and life-saving. Check out the Resurrection of Jake the Snake documentary, all right? DDP and DDP yoga saved his life. Trying to do the same thing for Scott Hall. Scott's having some problems, but he's making huge improvements because of DDP yoga. DDP designed DDP yoga to work for anyone and everyone, no matter what your age or fitness level is. Great option for those of you trying to get in shape and live a healthier lifestyle. Also, great choice if you're already in shape and trying to maintain. That's what I'm doing. DDP makes it easy. He's got it all covered, especially if you get the Max Pack. You get the workouts on DVD. You get a grid chart to track your progress. You get a poster to help you remember the 12 core positions of DDP yoga. You get recipes so you can get on a healthy eating plan. You get all the workouts on MP3 so you can exercise on the go. Do DDP yoga wherever you are, whenever you want. That's what I do. I do it in my hotel rooms. I do it in the back of the bus. I do it on the set of Tough Enough. Throw down a towel and get to work. You go at your own pace. DDP is beginner workouts, intermediate workouts, advanced workouts. You start where you're comfortable and move up when you're ready, all right? DDP yoga / Jericho. Take advantage of a special order. Only available to you guys. That's DDP yoga / Jericho. But this is not going to last forever. But I want you to get in the best shape of your life. DDP yoga can help you do it. Go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Give it a try and tell me what kind of results you get. And I guarantee you get plenty of them. We're still here with Corey Taylor, singing for Slipknot and Stone Sour. He's an author. He's a wrestling fan. We're going to hear about the newest Slipknot members. First, I want to tell you about Arctic Ease Instant Cold Wraps. If you run, bike, jump around on stage, jump around in the ring, you need to know all about Arctic Ease Instant Cold Wraps. They are amazing because they provide instant cold therapy to your injuries, aches, and pains while you're still active. That means you can wear them and still run, bike, surf, wrestle, perform on stage, whatever you want to do. They keep your joints and muscles wrapped and cool. And Arctic Ease Instant Cold Wraps stay in place while giving you similar recovery benefits to ice therapy. And the fruit thing about Arctic Ease, no freezer necessary. That's cookie, yo, because you know why? Because there's no ice. The wraps are sleek and comfy, no bulky ice. They don't show under your clothes, no bulky ice. So if you're a gym rat, a surfer, you're in a bowling league, like a stage dive, whatever it is you want to do, check out Arctic-E's Instant Cold Wraps. Keep yourself from being sidelined. They're reusable, clinically tested, and proven effective. Put on Arctic-E's and you have targeted instant cold and compression therapy when you need it, where you need it, before, during, and after exercise, all right? For pain, swelling, and injuries, you can safely use Arctic-E's for instant, long-lasting cold compression therapy even while you're training. You got to try it to believe it. You want to try it? You can get reusable Arctic-E's Instant Cold Wraps at CVS Pharmacy or Arctic-E's.com. You get that instant cooling relief when and where you need it. Give it a try. They really work. Arctic-E's is for you. The last time we spoke, you just had the two new guys in the band, and now you've been out on the road for a couple months, or yeah. How long it's been. How's the chemistry been with the new guys on stage?
It's been killer. Yeah. It's been really, really good. It's been cool to watch them come out of their shells, too, you know, because at first they weren't sure, like, how far to go. I mean, that's the respect level, you know? Like, they're so respectful and they dig what we're doing so much, you know, that they don't want to cross any boundaries, man. They're having a really good time. So we're like, let's step it up, you know? It's time. It's time. You know, start to get into it. And, you know, Alex, our bass player, is, you know, he's so into it that he's started to kind of come up to the front, really started to own it. Jay's just started to take it up. And yeah, man, it's been really good. So every show has just gotten consistently better and better and better. Last night we haven't played in 7 weeks, and we went on stage, and we could stop on a dime. It was incredible. And I'm talking about, you know, three songs that we hadn't played live. Mm-hmm. We'd just rehearsed like a couple times, and dude, it was on, you know.
Do you find that you're talking like with you mentioned Jay, now we can actually say their names before we
had a discussion about having a discussion, and there it is.
But I mean, I think, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, but when you start a band, you come up with the dudes that you've been with since they're 16, 17, 18 years old.
Yeah,
you are probably don't know the difference between, well, this guy's this kind of drummer, that guy's this kind of drummer.
Yeah.
I would say anybody who's a Weinberg is a pretty crazy, amazing,
he's got good time,
lunatic drummer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you said, you're stopping on dimes. That's probably kind of cool for you to know, like, we didn't really have this element before, or maybe we did, but this is more fine-tuned.
It's different. Yeah, different, yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, because with Joe, one of the great things about Joe was you weren't his capacity for the unexpected. Mm. Because he could, you know, sometimes he could vibe on where we were, and he could either ramp it up or bring it down, you know? Like, so that was, so you really learned, you learned to play together. You didn't learn to play to that meter. You learned to play together, right? You know? Jay is so consistent, you know, and you don't realize how much you miss that until you get it. And it's like, but he can still do all the crazy stuff, mm-hmm. you know, the reverse paradiddles and all that weird drum stuff, yeah. You know? So it's cool, you know, both, you know, there are benefits to both. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to jam with so many different drummers over the years that you really start to see that every drummer is different. You know, they may be playing some of the same parts, but it's so different because it's their thing, you know. Mm-hmm. I just watched that Beware of Mr.
Oh,
Baker.
The Ginger Baker.
Oh my god, what a maniac.
How,
you know,
crazy. He breaks the dude's nose.
Oh, I know, right out of the gate.
Crazy old
man. And this
man
is some dude he's just been hanging and joking and laughing, yeah, with, and then he breaks his
with his cane. He just hits him. He hits the filmmaker in the nose with the cane.
In the face. Yeah. The guy who set out to make this movie about him.
Yeah.
He's been friends with him this whole time. And then and that's how it opens, too.
Yeah.
That's why I love it. It's like the last shot of the movie. He breaks his nose. It's insane. But that sums up drummers for you,
yeah,
right there. They're right. Just an interesting breed,
yeah,
that you'll just never understand. You just kind of have to, you know, find the pocket and stay with it.
So, I mean, when Slipknot's looking for a new drummer, a new bass player, because it's funny, because when I heard that, you're talking about V-Man.
Yeah.
We've toured with him many times. He was teching for Anthrax. He even worked for us for
a
tour.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like you hear a guy like, oh, V-Man's got the job, and it's like,
what?
Like, what? Like, yeah. A, that's amazing. B, like, how the hell did that come out? Because I'm envisioning, like, there's a lineup of, like, all the top bass players in the world. Like, when Metallica was, like, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
All these guys are showing up. And same thing with the drummer. I mean, you go in for, I mean, Jay Weinberg. Like, what? Who is that? Like, Max Weinberg's son? Does he play born in the USA? It's like, what
kinda,
is it, you know?
It's kind of cool the way it all kind of came together. It was almost kismet, to be honest, because...
Great word. Kismet.
Thank you. I try to work that in every day. That and gulch.
Gulch.
That's a good word, right?
What does it even mean?
Gulch.
I don't know that word.
Gulch. It's like a ravine that's filled with water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
like your
gulch.
Outlaw's gulch.
All right. We're going down to the dry gulch. We're going to ambush it. No. You know? The cool thing about both those guys is the way that they kind of came, because we didn't try out a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, Jay was the only dude we tried out.
Really?
And he worked so well.
But how did he come on your radar?
He's been a fan since he was 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting down trying to think of, like, what to do next. And I can't remember if it was Clown or Brennan. They sat us down and was like, you got to see this video. Because we all knew Jay, because he'd been coming, you know, we would see him backstage with his dad. And we're like, how are you doing? How's everything going? Oh, you're playing drums. Cool, you know, keep it up.
Mm.
And Joey was a, you know, huge influence for him. So all of a sudden, we start seeing these videos of Jay playing. And we're like, whoa. So what we did was we booked a studio. And I won't go too much into the background of it. We booked a studio. We didn't even tell him what it was about. We just told him, you know, and we weren't even the ones telling him. We just told him, be at this place with a set at this time for an audition. And then we all walked in. And they were, and he, and we started going through tunes, and he knew every tune. And the ones they didn't, he knew half of it, you know. It was insane, you know.
Wow.
And that's how that started. V-Man was a little different because, you know, we had a couple people that we were looking at and that we had actually worked with. And it just wasn't vibing, you know. It wasn't nothing against them technically. It just wasn't vibing, mm-hmm. you know. And I think Jim was actually the one who said, you know, for now, let's bring V-Man in. He can handle it because the dude is a ripper. A lot of people don't know that.
Did he text for you or something like that?
No. We met him through Mastodon.
Okay, gotcha.
And so we'd known him a long time. And Jim knew just how good he was. So he came in and he just started, you know, handling it, you know. And he's so easy to hang out with, you know. He's such a great dude.
Yeah.
It just got better and better and better and better and better. And, you know, the question got brought up towards the end of the album. It's like, what are we going to do live? And we're like, what do you mean? He's coming with us. Like, that was it, you know? So it was a slower burn for him because we had, you know, tried a couple of different other people.
Yeah.
But it worked so well that it was just like, okay, this is it, you know? And then it was trial by fire because now you're jumping out of the airplane. You know, first gig is Knotfest in front of 25,000 people.
That was the first. Wow.
That was their first gig.
Headlining your own festival.
Yeah, and they're just, no, I'm not nervous. Shut up. Get away from me. You know,
could you get a gig at the Copa first,
so gnarly. But it came off, man, and it's just, yeah, it's just gotten a lot. It's gotten better.
That's,
you know, it never gets easier.
Yeah.
But it's gotten better.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I was looking through, talking about all the different things that you do and all the different projects that you have. And you have a new book coming out, which pisses me off because now you're in the 3-book club. And I'm worried.
You'll get there.
Well, I'm already there, but I'm worried you're going to beat me.
Okay.
I don't want, I have to write, I have to write another one to keep up with you.
Well, now, if I write another book and it's a novel, is that a whole different category?
Yeah, it's still a book. It's a
book. Well, okay, fair enough.
By Corey Taylor.
Yeah,
so, I mean, I have to, honestly, I was thinking about a fourth book, and then when I saw that you had your new one coming out, I'm just pulling up. I have to read. I was like, no, seriously, I got to get my shit together and write one. The book is called You're Making Me Hate You, A Cantankerous Look at the Common Misconception That Humans Have any common sense left.
Yeah.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, there it is. It's going to be great.
So let's talk about that. I mean.
It speaks for itself.
First of all, I want to say that you've done a really smart thing, and that's what I want to do with my next book, is your first book was kind of a autobiography. Then you wrote the kind of a more of a paranormal type thing, which we discussed, some of those crazy stories. And then now you're kind of coming through like it's like a George Carlin vibe or a Chelsea Handler where she just writes about whatever.
Yeah.
Bill O'Reilly, and people buy it.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be, because there's only so much biography you can write.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There's only so much stuff you've done at 40, you know, before you go, well, I could tell that one again.
Yeah.
The cool thing about that, I mean, there's stories in this, but it's very relatable to what the different chapters are about, you know? So it's not like, you know, I was born in this trailer and the west side of Des Moines, Iowa. It's, you know, it's all stupid crap.
Right.
But this one is, it's a rant book. Straight up, simple. I mean, it's just basically me explaining the reasons why you make me want to get stabby. I mean, that's what it comes down to. You're making me feel so stabby right now that I don't leave the house a lot because I'm afraid that I'll look around and there's a ballpoint pen right there. I could just nick your jugular because you're being an idiot, you know?
You tweeted the other day, I'm going to hate people
for an hour and a half.
An hour and a half. Leave me alone.
And I did. And I just sat at my table and just, you know? And then honestly, I got to the hour and a half and I was still kind of feeling a little sassy, so I was just like, you know, I'm just going to stay off Twitter today. It's not a good idea.
So what gave you the idea to write this book?
You know, it was something I'd been kind of, you know, I came up with the title, honestly, first. Like, the title was, I just kept saying it to people, you know? Like, I kept finding myself, because I'd be hanging out with people that I knew, and they would do something dumb, and I'd just go, ugh, you're making me hate you. Stop it, you know? And I just kept coming to, I was just like, that's a really good title for a book, you know? And that's what it was. I jotted it down, and then I just kind of started putting the chapters together. You know, I was just like, oh my God, everybody knows about flying. But I can take it even deeper because of this stuff that we have to deal with on an international level. Well, and just walking through Heathrow alone.
Let's talk about some of it. Like, how you, walking through Heathrow in what way?
Just the fact that there's some of those shops in there have so many ridiculous things that draw the attention of the idiot that they will stop. Their whole family will stop right in front of you. Not like they were going very fast to begin with, but now you basically have like half a second to react to the fact that you were about to topple over a tiny roll bag and fall into a man that happens to be in matching Adidas suits with his family, right? All because they're staring at this giant wheel of Gouda and just can't believe that you could buy a giant wheel of Gouda at an airport.
Right.
And then I have the whole conversation in there. It's Myrtle? Yes, Jackie? What are you looking outside of that wheel of cheese? My, that is big, right? Where would you get it? Something like that? I mean, it's just such an idiotic. And I've seen it happen.
All
you know?
The time.
Like, people go into low all the time. I just want to get to my gate, all right? Sometimes I have a layover that is literally the width of a pubic hair, and I have to get from one side of Heathrow, which you know is, I mean, that thing is like,
and it's always so packed.
It's like six city blocks, you know, but it's laid out, it's stretched out for like 4 miles. So you have no idea where you're going. One terminal leads to another. It's just, God forbid you go outside because then it's another hour to get back in, you know? So, yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff about that in there.
You know, I was going to say, there's a couple things. I don't know if you have anything about the TSA, but just that we're talking about it. So, I have this jacket, right?
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes I'll go through TSA.
Yeah.
Now, this thing has wires, batteries, metal, studs. It's pretty much the recipe for a bomb.
Okay.
And I don't have any, I have to carry it with me because
all
if
you're
I
missing
put it,
is fertilizer.
Yeah, right. So I have to carry it with me because I can't put it on the check luggage.
Yeah,
I'll throw it around and it breaks.
Yeah.
So I swear to you, man, 6 out of 10 times, it'll just go right through.
Oh, really?
And they won't pull it.
Huh.
And this should be pulled every time.
Right. Yeah.
Every freaking time.
Because I watched it happen in Australia. Remember when we were down there?
Yes.
And that's like one of the most lax security runs. I mean, you get down there and they're like, I'm not even taking the change out of my pocket. Yeah, you know, yeah. It's so, it's like, why are you even here?
Yeah, exactly.
So I've seen that happen to you. It happens with Slash's hat too.
Right.
Cause he has to carry it separately.
Yeah.
And they always make him pull it out. Like it's weird. So it astonishes me that it doesn't happen more with jacket. But
that's what, it kind of scares me though. Yeah. Then I'll go through with like a scarf and they'll say, can you take your scarf off? I'm like, what's in the scarf?
Yeah, yeah. What's buried in here?
Yeah, and I have to take the scarf off, put in the little dog bowl,
yeah,
and it goes through as I'm carrying my bomb jacket. And that sort of stuff is like, because when I read the rundown of your book and you were talking about airport and flying, and there's so much stuff that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But like you said, like, why, like, okay, I'm taking off my flip-flops to go through,
yeah,
but this makes it through, you know?
It's very weird, yeah. I mean, I talk a little bit about security. It's mainly the people who are in front of me, like their crap, because I'm trying to remember the four levels of airport travel. It's hurry up, me, where am I? And there's a fourth one. I can't think of it. Because they're literally, it seems to me that there are different, like, it's almost like you're shifting gears in your head from one thing to the next. And like, hurry up is when you're in the line trying to get to the counter. Mm-hmm. Me is when you get to the counter. And then where am I is pretty much everywhere after that. Because everybody is walking around, I'm just me. You know?
It's a Gouda wheel.
From the beginning of security till you run by them, flipping them off, trying to get to your flight, which is now delayed, you know?
Yeah.
So ridiculous. So yeah, I mean it's me basically kind of breaking down behavior and stuff in just everything from airports to how, you know, to music and film.
As far as music and film, what, like things that bug you?
Just everything that bugs me. Oh yeah, so it's not just film; it's more television than film because there's so many crap shows now that I very rarely even watch, you know, television anymore unless it's like a show that I know is on. And then halftime, I watch it on Netflix or Vudu anyway. You know,
that's so the new TV show though. Yeah. It's like HBO, like I call them mini films.
Exactly.
Like you watch an episode of Game of Thrones. That's got to cost $5 million
easily.
You know, you're talking about, you know, Fear Clinic or Clowns Movie.
Yeah.
I bet you the budget for one Game of Thrones is probably double.
Yeah.
Of what those type of
easily
movies are. You know,
easily.
What I mean?
Yeah, and there's so much that goes into those. I mean, even just the set locations.
Yeah.
And just having everything ready. And then the costuming and the effects and the
extras
themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the extras. I mean, it's insane. That is a rare occurrence, it seems like these days. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we need any more reality shows. I'm sorry. I really don't. I don't need another. I don't need to know who the next Top Chef, model, dancer, grinder, singer, shitter. I don't care.
That's
Kardashian.
Show, like,
that's what should be the next one. The next top Kardashian. Because it seems like every time I accidentally see a commercial, there's four more kids that nobody knew about.
There's Jenners, there's Kardashians.
It's like
they making them in a lab or how is this working?
It's like the Von Erichs. Like they just keep showing up. Like what the, what? Like who are these two little ones? And then Bruce Jenner, God damn it.
But this is a thing too.
I can't eat Wheaties again. Like I feel so weird. What happened?
That's a weird one too because
I'm
like you. Okay, I obviously we're into pop culture, so you can't not know who the Kardashians are.
Yeah,
I've never watched the show. So but you know who these people are and these characters.
But it's like, how did they get there?
Right.
You know.
And then
they didn't do shit to get famous.
But then this Jenner thing.
Yeah.
Like, it just seems like over the last year, okay, now he's a woman. Like, I never saw that one coming.
And I, you know, and I, well, because certain people that I know read some of those weird gossip rags, like the Us Weeklies. Yeah,
airport.
Not me. I might have read over a shoulder or two because, you know, I'd finished my Entertainment Weekly too quickly.
Yeah, exactly, right.
But this has been coming for like 2 years. Like,
as far as him turning
started
to
growing his hair out, started wearing earrings. And there's and it makes sense because there's a 2 year kind of there's a 2 year period where they make you wait until they start giving you the
drugs or
the drugs, the estrogen, the hormones. Yeah. And then you can finally have the surgery. I remember seeing that in a documentary.
So you need 2 years to make sure this is what you really want to do.
Well, they make you live as a woman for 2 years.
Oh.
To adjust to it, you know, and to help your family adjust to it, to help you adjust to it, because it's such a different switch, you know?
Yeah.
Which makes sense. I mean, it's kind of akin to the, you know, the 5-day cooling off period when you're trying to buy a gun. Basically, you know, it's like, is this what you need to do? Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, for auspicious reasons, they're like, well, we want you to live with it so you can get comfortable with it. I guarantee you, it's more like you need to make sure that this is what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Because once it's gone, that's it, you know, because the surgery, they actually use the penis to create the walls of the new
vagina.
Yeah. So that all goes into what they built. Yeah. It's incredible. Okay. Like what we can do today. It's insane.
Yeah.
So yeah. So it's 2 years of making sure that your family's ready. You're ready. And yeah. So I know way more than that about that than you I really thought that I should. That's insane. Wow. And I just rattled it off. You like, did. Oh, by the way, they used the penis.
And I was just listening like, wow, I did not know this. Is this in the book?
No. That's all free.
Maybe it should be.
No, that's all free. Free. That's all free.
Always learning something new from Corey Taylor. And who knew they know so much about gender reassignment surgery, right? And speaking of that, no matter your gender or sex, MeUndies, they've got skivvies for everyone, no matter what kind of gender you are. They got brand new designs for July as well. All the things you love about summer, right on your undies. You check them out at MeUndies.com, the most comfortable undies on the planet. They don't ride up on you. They do the moisture wicking, so you stay cool, dry, and comfy all day long. MeUndies are also pre-shrunk, so you don't get any surprises after you wash them. They look as good as they feel, and they stay that way. And if you're loving the undies, then you need to try MeUndies' other products and garments. They make socks, hoodies, t-shirts, all soft and comfy as their undies. Your skin is going to love you. And ladies, MeUndies has a whole line of sexy beast products for you as well. Check out the styles at MeUndies.com. And if you order now at MeUndies.com/Jericho, you'll save 20% off your first order and get free shipping. Come on, 20% off and free shipping. You got to jump on that. Save even more when you buy a whole pack of them. Once again, MeUndies.com/Jericho. They come with a money-back guarantee, so you got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Go to MeUndies.com/Jericho now and save 20% off your order and feel as sexy as you want to be. And here's the funny thing, and this is something I had no idea about, and I gotta ask you about it, because like I said, I was coming over today, so I googled Corey Taylor new book.
Yeah.
And it comes up, you know, on Blabbermouth, so I'm just going through Blabbermouth, as we all do.
Oh boy.
While I was waiting for you.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm gonna ask you about. Yeah. It's on there right now.
And it's amazing, because I've talked about this for 5 years.
I've never heard it.
Yeah, I've talked about this in other interviews. Yeah, Rock of Love came to me twice. They came to me twice.
To be the new,
I turned them down the first time, yeah.
The new subject of Rock of Love.
Yeah, this was while they were doing it with Brett. Like, they just, and it was weird. Like, they weren't overt about it. Like, they went through my manager. And, you know, at first, my manager was like, hey, you know, like, they're looking around for a new guy. And I'm like, you ever call me again with this kind of thing, I'm going to break a chair over your face, you know? I was like, seriously? Me? No. So then fast forward a year later.
So it's like 2009 or 10 or something?
Yeah, something like that. And, you know, it was right when the bus of love was going to happen.
The bus of love.
And I was like, not even if God was driving, dude. Stop calling me with this crap.
So what's the bus of love?
It was the rock bus, the rock of love, the bus.
With all the chicks on
it. Yeah, it was the tour bus one, and I was just like, God.
But how did your net, because right now,
I don't know. I keep, to this day, I'm still
in 2015,
like
Corey Taylor as a personality is way more known.
Yeah.
Than, like, Corey Taylor 2010 was to me the guy with the mask. I didn't know.
I
you.
Was still pretty underground. Yeah.
But even like, you know, now there's Stone Sour and your books and all this stuff. But then it was just more of the mask guy from Slipknot, right?
I think it's because I had such great word of mouth that I was easy to work with.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, like, people in the industry knew me.
Gotcha.
Because of, like, my work ethic and what I do and everything. Mm-hmm. I think right around, my book hadn't even, I hadn't even started writing the book yet. So I don't know. I think it's just my reputation. Like, yeah. And like maybe they wanted to see me uncomfortable with a bunch of drunk sluts. I just wasn't interested, you know? I was just like, negative.
I don't need to be filming that.
I'm fine, you know? Like, I'm all good. Like, I know. So, yeah, it's definitely funny. And, you know, and nothing against Brett. It just wasn't my thing.
Well, that would seem like it is more of Brett's thing.
It's more Brett's thing, you know?
You know, he's talked dirty to me and nothing but a good time.
He played it well. He did it well. I'm just not that guy.
Yeah.
I've never been that guy.
But that's what I'm saying. Talk dirty to me, nothing but a good time. People are shit.
People equal shit, and
shit, yeah.
Don't want to slit your throat and fuck the wound. Not really, you
kind
know.
A different vibe.
Now, if sci-fi does one,
yeah,
where it's like, you know, effects artists, you know, and I can come in and try out some of the prosthetics.
Can you imagine
maybe.
The type of chicks that would have showed up for the Corey Taylor Rock of Love? I mean, you would have had some, you know, no. There would have been some goth aficionados as sure.
As my buddy Jason calls him, gothopotamus.
Oh, that's great.
So brutal.
So what else is in the new book?
You know, I talk a lot about kids and how people are raising their kids now and how we've gone from, you know, when we were growing up, it was so different. You know, you were taught respect right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a hint of fear in there. You know,
that's true.
I went through a brutal childhood, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and I've tried to, you know, it's the one thing that I said I would never do once I had kids, you know? So for me, watching the way we're kind of softening everything where other people are, where you don't have to win now. You can be a participant. You don't have to learn anymore. We're going to grade you on a curve. You know, everyone's got something. Everyone's got an excuse. Everyone's got a reason. And then it bleeds down into their behavior. You wonder why, you know, little girls are showing more and more on you know, the internet. It's because you didn't teach them any respect. You wonder why, you know, guys... You know, little teenage boys are treating women like crap earlier and earlier just because you didn't teach them any respect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just ridiculous. And I watch it, and I've actually, now that my wife has actually kind of had to rein me in because I've gone parent on other people's kids.
Oh, yeah.
In public. And Steph kind of grabs me. He's like, no, that one's not ours. Yeah. You need to settle down. And I'm like, but. I'll get back to you. So yeah, I mean it's brutal, man. You know, and we give my son a little leeway.
How old is he now?
He's 12 now. 12. He'll be 13.
Get to the chopper.
Yeah. Oh my God. He just thought that was the funniest thing. He still does it to this day.
Yeah.
There's a difference because I taught him respect right out of the gate. You know, he's a crazy person. He's gonna kill me someday. But I taught him respect right out of the gate. So,
and that's a different dynamic too, because
yeah.
You're divorced or whatever. Yeah. You're basically a single dad with him.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Stephanie too. But
well, yeah. I mean, at first it was difficult because we had to be on the same page, you know. And when you go through a divorce like that, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be at odds with each other.
Right.
And honestly, it wasn't until we both got remarried that we learned to talk just about Griff. It's like, at this point, it's not about anything.
Yeah.
It's about him, and that's it.
Yeah.
So that we were lucky enough to kind of have, we're lucky enough to have that dynamic now. And we both know that her husband and my wife only have his best intentions at heart. Mm-hmm. So it's good to know that, you know, we've got everybody kind of trying to cover those bases.
Good, yeah.
And it's so, yeah, I mean, it's, so when he has an issue, you know, we do our best to talk as much as possible about it. And there it is, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's such a good kid. And he's such a sweet kid that he acts up every once in a while. But he knows, like, all you have to do is raise your voice in my house. And anybody who's heard me knows that I can be at one end and I can hear him messing up. And I will, you know, Griff. And he, wow, yeah. And he'll come running down. Like
a big death metal growl.
Oh, yeah. And you'd think he'd be used to it by now. But no, it's still, you know, yeah. He just still freaks out.
But that's a good thing, though. I have that in my house, too. And sometimes my wife will be, you can't just come home and yell at the kids. I'm not yelling.
No.
I'm just letting them know
yeah.
that the discipline, and my wife is great at it, too.
Yeah.
But do you want me to talk to your dad?
Yeah.
Done. End of story. No. It's the same concept as when we first had kids. I'm sure you went through this too. They say you should you have to spank your kid, and not much.
Yeah.
But one spank.
Oh, one yeah
for
one,
each kid, and for the rest of the time, my son went through this phase where he would punch people in the balls.
Oh. Okay.
He would just go up to you, and just punch you in the balls.
Yeah, it was
hilarious. And you stop it. But one day he did it. Do it again. I'll spank you. He did it. I spanked him, and from then on. Do you want me to spank you?
Nope.
Done. One time was all it took. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And I gave Griff a swat when he was a baby. Not when he was a baby, but when he was younger. You know, like he just wouldn't settle down. It's like, and he just was breaking everything. And it's like, you know, you don't want to do it.
It's the worst.
Yeah. It kills you inside.
It's the worst feeling. But you have to set that, that precedent.
And
to
it
know.
Sucks, you know, but look at all these kids who have no idea what, like, spanking, what's that?
Yeah.
Well,
like you said, no respect.
Yeah. You don't understand that there are consequences for your actions, you know, and if you do that young enough, people understand it, you know? And it's, you know, it's not, you're not beating your kid.
No.
Not at all. It's discipline. And that's, you know, I think the more we water down what we do for our kids, it takes away what we do to help them become better adults later on. I am terrified of what my son is and my other kids are going to have to deal with.
And now you have a daughter, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
a different thing.
I mean, it's insane. I'm like, oh, God, no.
You mean just as far as what the world's going to be like in 10 years or something like
that? I'm terrified. Like, basically, I have to start figuring out what Larry King eats or drinks so I can live forever. Just make sure my kids are okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's... Oh.
But it is scary, though, because, like, I remember... And I'm sure a lot of us, or maybe most of us from our generation, I'm going out to play, be home when it gets dark.
Yeah.
When the street lights come on, you better be home.
You better be home.
Can you imagine Griff is 12, my son Ash is 11. That was about the age. Okay, we'll see you later.
Yeah.
And like 3 hours later, he comes wandering back in.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way.
Yeah.
No way.
No way you could do that.
There's no
way. And I mean, God, I live on a cul-de-sac in West Des Moines. Yes, we have cul-de-sacs in Des Moines, in
it's
Iowa.
Like a wheat field.
It's not a wheat field. First of all, that's Kansas. God damn it. Anyway.
Yes.
You jerk. Yeah. We live on a cul-de-sac, so, you know, there's a lot of kids on it, so I send him out all the time to play, you know?
So that's okay.
And he
though,
knows,
right?
It's okay. I think he knows not to go off the circle because... You know, not that we live in a gnarly neighborhood.
Still,
it's just, you know,
just
stick around. You know, he knows the neighborhood, so if he gets too far off the reservation, he can get back. But, you know, for the most part, you know, it's you can't do that anymore.
You know,
you really can't, because I was the same way. I was a free-range kid, as it used to be called, or I called it in my head. I don't think anybody's ever said that.
I'm not sure if it's official or not. But.
I would stay out, man, and I would run for miles. You know, as soon as it got dark, I'd go home. You know, that was your GPS.
Yeah.
Lights come on. Oh, got to start heading home. Yeah. You know? And I just can't. I don't see other kids being like that anymore. You know? Not within a couple blocks, anyway.
That's right. You just hear the horrible things. And when you're growing up, it's, you know, but when you become a parent and you see all this stuff.
Oh, my God.
You know?
I still to this day have night terrors about so many things.
Yeah.
And I have to keep it in check because I don't want that to bleed down onto my kids, you know? But it's so gnarly out there. And yet, and of course, you know, you'd watch Investigation Discovery.
Oh, yeah.
Scare the crap out of yourself.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like that everywhere, but it's. I mean, at this point, you don't know, you know? So I'm not taking the goddamn chance.
How is it for you with having the baby on tour?
It's interesting. It's interesting.
Because it's funny because Shadows did the same since he had his new baby.
Yeah.
And he's got two now, and it's like a different world from the old days.
It's,
you know?
I mean, it's cool because, you know, obviously you get to see him, you get to see her right away, you know. You don't get a lot of sleep. But, you know.
Is that hard for you as a singer?
Part of it. Because my wife's great about taking her and allowing me to sleep in a little more so I can... You know, feel like I'm rested or whatever. So,
which as a singer, for people that don't understand, is very, very important.
You have to
have it. It's the most important thing.
Vocal rest is the best thing you can do for yourself. Yeah. Because if you're like us, and you love to talk, you'll talk all night, wake up, God, I got a gig.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yes.
So, yeah, she's really good about it. And, you know, and obviously we try to go back and forth because she works too. Mm-hmm. You know, she works in management.
Yeah.
So, but she's, man, she's a trooper. You know, she loves the bus, hangs out on the bus, you know, and then, you know, we got the strollers. We'll take her for walks and whatever. And she's digging it. You know, she's got her own bunk now, you know, which we've barricaded. And
yeah, Matt had that too.
It's with crazy.
The little baby gate on
yeah,
the bunk.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. You got to kind of rig it up and. It's like, is this sturdy? I mean, it's crazy, you know?
It's kind of like the fine tradition of, like, Ozzy and Sharon.
Yeah, exactly, you know? You know? And that's the thing. I mean, no, and you know, I had such trepidations about, you know, bringing, you know, the kids out too young. And Steph kind of had to remind me, he's like, look, normal is what you make it.
Mm,
you know,
right.
If this is normal for you, it's going to be normal for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you don't include them. It becomes abnormal, and it's different, and then you're already setting yourself up to have a gap between you and your kids. Mm. And I was like, stop being smarter than me. She's so much smarter than me.
It's so, almost like, you know, the Slipknot or Stone Sour, or the, you know, it's like a family business at this point. You know?
Yeah, and it really is.
Because Stephanie's very much involved. She's managing. She stage manages.
Yeah, yeah. She does a lot, man. And not just with the stuff that I do. I mean, she works with a lot of different bands. And does a lot of not only on the road, but you know, in like in the office and whatever. Like, she does a lot of stuff for a lot of people. So she's a master of a lot of hats. Let's put it that way.
Well, and like you said, I mean, it doesn't matter how long the tour is, or it doesn't matter where you are when you got your family with you. It's
you go home. I go home afterwards.
Yeah,
you know? Like, it's pretty cool.
That's cool.
I go in, I do my thing, I do all my press, do my meet and greets, play my show. I take a shower, and I go home. It's rad. There's nothing better than that, you know?
Yeah.
The only thing that would be better is, like, if all my kids were out with me. Mm-hmm. But obviously, Griff's got school, and, you know, and it just can't do it. But, you know, during the summers, he comes out, you know, so it's cool. And we've got some tours planned this summer.
You do,
He's going to be out
summer,
with us.
So,
yeah.
He's going to come with you.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's going
to
come out.
You
got
to put him to work, though, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, when we went out and we did some Stone Sour stuff, Steph was still pregnant, so... Griff was my water dude. You know, he was taking care of me. And he's over there just rocking the entire night, right? And I come over and he'd already have it ready. And he was collecting all of the caps from all of the water bottles as a reminder. And I was like, that's so cute.
It's
pretty rad, right?
It's funny when your kids get, like, the other day I was looking through Instagram.
Yeah.
And I saw my son had a picture with these three girls that he hangs out with. They're all over at my house doing whatever.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's interesting, but I didn't know my wife was on Instagram. And it wasn't. It was my son.
Oh, really?
And I was like, are you on Instagram?
Wow.
He's like, yeah. Well, I kind of knew, but he doesn't really post much.
Yeah.
I was like, this is it. Now he's posting.
Yeah.
And now I'm finding out what he's doing via social media.
Yeah.
Because he never told me, you know? And it's like, oh, man, you know. But that's,
like, well, let's see where the boys are at, you know.
Do you guys, I mean, just the final thing is that, I mean, Slipknot now, I think, is probably the biggest you guys have ever been. Do you feel the same way?
Definitely. I mean, which is weird, you know. Like, we didn't expect it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we, you know, this for us, we were ready just for anything. So when it blew up again, you know, it really took us by surprise, and it just seems to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we're playing to a lot of people who've never seen us before, which is bizarre, you know. But it feels good, man. I think that's a testament to what this band is all about. You know, it's not just about the scary masks and everything. It's about the music, the art behind it, the creativity, the fact that we've devoted, you know, 16 years professionally now to it. It feels good to know that, you know, we can go away for a little bit, deal with the things that we had to deal with, come back and still have it hit just as big, if not bigger.
Bigger, right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Still, who'd have thought we'd had one number one album, let alone two?
Right.
I'm, all right.
Well, we're talking, what's the name of the title of the book again?
You're Making Me Hate You. I won't put you through the long
I want to hear the whole thing, though.
Oh,
you have to look it up too.
I have to look it up.
All right, I have it here. I just want to know. I just want to.
Hold
know
on, I've got it.
We're both looking on our phones.
Yeah, it's. Hold on.
You're making me hate you.
A cantankerous look at the common misconception that humans have any common sense left.
Your third book, man.
A third.
We're tied now. I got to go write some more stuff and try and figure out what the hell I'm going to talk about. Thanks, dude.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, thanks to Corey Taylor for making his second appearance on Talk is Jericho. He's got his third book called You're Making Me Hate You, a cantankerous look at the common misconception that humans have any common sense left. And if you got any common sense, you'll find it on Amazon. My oldest sponsor here on TIJ, use the links to pick it up. You know how to find him. You go to podcast1.com. Click on the support or sponsors banner at the top of the page, then hit Talk is Jericho. I got links to Amazon UK, Amazon USA, Amazon Canada A. You're doing your online shopping through my Amazon links. It's the easiest way to support the show. No extra fees or hidden challenges. You just get what you need, and Amazon kicks back a small percentage of your purchase to help us cover production costs. Once again, go to podcast1.com. Click on the Talk is Jericho button. You'll find all my Amazon links right there, and you'll also find all of my Y2J WWE Summer Tour dates on WWE.com. It's already almost halfway done. That's crazy. It's gone by so fast after the Tokyo shows and great time in Boston and Reading and Vegas. July 10th, this Friday, I'll be in Philadelphia. On the 11th, I'll be in Pittsburgh. July 31st, San Diego, means Wells Vagina. August 1st, Ontario, California. August 2nd, Fresno, California. Still a handful of Fozzy dates as well. July 24th in Kitchener. August 8th in Hamilton at the Festival of Friends. August 9th, Heavy Montreal. October 30th, we're embarking on the Kiss Cruise with the Kiss Navy. Go to FozzyRock.com for all ticket info and all information about the next leg of the Cinderblock Party Tour back in the Europe and back in the UK starting November 12th in Germany with Nonpoint Sumo Cycle. Get your tickets now. We're going to Hamburg, Berlin, Cologne, Reading, London, Manchester, Birmingham, Newcastle, Sheffield. So many dates. Go to FozzyRock.com. They got all the 411. Don't forget to watch Tough Enough as well. I'll talk about episode 3 on Friday. We got so much stuff going on here. I'm blowing my mind. I'm losing my mind. And even better, on Friday, you know who's going to be here? Raven. That's right. I ain't talking about the rock and roll band either. I'm talking about Raven, the master of the DDT, one of the architects of ECW. Got a long conversation with Raven coming up. Stay hard, stay hungry, and a big yeah, boy, and we'll see you on Friday.
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcast1.com. That's podcastone.com.
Stay tuned for the latest AP news headlines from Podcast One right after this.
Okay, Kevin, for the grand prize of $1 million, what color is the White House?
I know this.
5 seconds.
Oh, switching to Geico could save you a bunch of money on car insurance?
Okay. Judges? That's true, Kevin. They'll allow it. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Woo!
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors.
Mm-hmm.
And shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Syria Peace Talks? I'm Ben Thomas with an AP News Minute. Syrian rebels have rejected peace talks being proposed by Russia. They're accusing Moscow of failing to pressure its ally, President Bashar Assad, to end the conflict. Christmas may be over, but the shopping isn't. Hazel Ginn was at Macy's Herald Square in New York today.
It's not too bad. Even we went up to the 9th floor, and we managed to get in a queue of about 4 deep, so not bad. Yeah, and then we went to another one, and it was only a couple, so we kind of timed it well, I think.
America's research group, which focuses on consumer behavior, projects holiday sales up about 5% this year. Harley-Davidson is placing a renewed emphasis on teaching people to ride as part of its efforts to attract more customers. The company is expanding the number of dealerships with a Harley Riding Academy. The move comes as the industry grapples with years of declining sales and an aging customer base. I'm Ben Thomas.